You're listening to Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike on Healthy Talk. Call or email to ask your questions now. Email askdrmikesmith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
That's Ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com. I could use more questions, so send me whatever you want to talk about. It can be an idea you have. It could be a question about drugs, disease, acupuncture. You know, as I said, I have a whole staff of health advisors at Life Extension that help me answer questions. So send them my way. All right, so this question comes from Diane. With April being National Autism Month, are there any new theories of autism? Thanks for your show, Diane. So, you know, when I get questions like this, to me this is kind of like an update type question about a disease or a condition. And so I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this because I'm the senior health scientist for Life Extension. You know, we have over 140 some odd protocols that are updated with this kind of information. So I went to lifeextension.com and went to their autism protocol. So the first thing that I want to mention, it is National Autism Month. I encourage you to go check out, I didn't write the website down. I think it's the nationalautismassociation.com. But just Google it, and there's just different ways that you can help in terms of, helping to raise money and awareness. So go check out some of those sites. So back to the question that Diane has, you know, what are some of the new theories? Well, I think the first one is inflammation, and specifically inflammation that happens in utero when the embryo is developing. There are, you know, some studies that are looking at the effects of certain inflammatory proteins, one in particular, NF-kappa-beta, when that is high in the mom for a variety of reasons, maybe even autoimmune disorders, chronic infections, you know, whatever. When NF-kappa-beta is high, it does cross into the placenta, into the baby. Into the developing embryo, I should say, and that has been shown to increase the risk of autism. So again, why and how, you know, the specifics is still not worked out, but more and more researchers are looking at in utero inflammation, inflammatory mediators passing from mom to embryo. That seems to be a current theory. Another theory would be the genetics. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me back up. I missed this. This comes from the Life Extension Protocol. This is about the inflammation again. And I wanted to read this. A study published last year. So this protocol at Life Extension was updated at the end of 2014. So this is a study published in 2013. So a study published in 2013 followed 1.2 million pregnant women in Finland and measured the expectant mother's levels of C-reactive protein, one of those inflammatory mediators. The higher the level, it's an indication that there's some inflammation. Researchers found a 43% increased risk in children of mothers with the highest levels of C-reactive protein. So that's, again, cause-effect, no. Association, yes. So there is an inflammatory component, an inflammatory association with the risk of developing autism. NF-kappa-beta, in this case, C-reactive protein. There are several other inflammatory proteins that could be involved. So the question becomes, what's going on? I mean, how? Number one, we need to be managing inflammation in moms. That's right there. Is it the pregnancy in some women that causes higher inflammation? Is it smoldering chronic infections that haven't been diagnosed? Do we need to be working that up in pregnant women initially? I mean, does that need to be part of the normal workup now? So these are all questions now that are coming out from some of these studies. So inflammation is probably the leading theory right now. Now, there's also a genetic component. A study published last year in the New England Journal of Medicine analyzed the brain tissue of children with autism. This was done by scientists from the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, and the Allen Institute for Brain Science in Seattle, Washington. They looked at 25 genes in the brain tissue of deceased children with and without autism, including genes that have been linked to autism, as well as several control genes. So they took children that died with and without autism, and they identified, or they looked at 25 different genes, some of them associated with autism, some of them not associated with autism. Those are the control genes. Researchers found that the brains of autistic children were missing key genetic markers across multiple layers of brain cells. This was the first study to actually look at the brains of children, because until it was done, scientists had only ever studied the brain tissue of adults with autism and sought to figure out what may have occurred developmentally when the patient was diagnosed as a child. So now this is the first study really looking at the brains of kids, identifying certain genetic defects. And now we got to go back, map those genetic defects, and maybe we can start developing some genetic markers for autism. So here you have inflammation on one hand and potentially some genetic markers on the other. The third one, which may, now this theory may be more associated with the inflammatory theory that I already talked about, but it has to do with autoimmune disorders in the mom. Studies have also shown that women with autoimmune diseases are more likely to produce a kind of antibody that attacks the brain of the developing fetus. So that's, so again, I don't know, I didn't look into what that antibody was, what type of autoimmune disorder. So those are all questions. Maybe we can go back to Life Extension and see if there was some more there. But again, moms with autoimmune disorders apparently make certain autoantibodies. That's what we call them. They do cross into the developing embryo and can cause some brain damage in the developing fetus. Why? But this, it brings up the question, though. What's driving all this, though? Okay, so here you have an inflammatory theory, okay? A really nice Finland study, 1.2 million women looking at CRP, and women that had high levels of CRP had an increased risk of having a kid with autism. I mean, that's well established. There's studies with NF-kappa beta, another inflammatory marker. You have this genetic analysis going on, and you got this link to this autoantibody. Again, it brings up the question, though, but why now? Why are we seeing such a sharp rise in autism? And I do think it is reasonable to believe that on one level, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, we didn't recognize autism and the spectrum of autistic disorders. I know when I was in medical school, we didn't appreciate all that. And that was just, you know, gosh, almost 20 years ago. So, I mean, just 20 years ago, we didn't have an appreciation for the autistic spectrum or I should say the spectrum of autistic symptoms and disorders. We didn't learn that. So on one hand, we are recognizing it better, which may be driving some of the increased diagnosis. But there's a definite, when you factor that out, there's a definite increase in autism. And we have this inflammatory theory, this genetic theory, this autoimmune. What's driving all this? Well, a lot of doctors really think we need to think of, you know, the chemical toxins in our environment as that overarching umbrella that's driving the inflammation, driving some of this, these autoantibodies, driving some of these genetic abnormalities. And we need some more transparency and understanding what chemicals are out there, what dangers they may or may not pose. We just don't have that kind of information, and it's time that I think we do. So there you go. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well. As always, all of my shows are on demand at RadioMD.com. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.